We do have some special guests here tonight for our 2020 retirees. We'll be introducing them, or those that were able to attend here shortly. The first order of business for tonight is to approve the agenda for the evening. Could I have a motion to approve?
I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. I don't see why we would need to do a roll call to approve an agenda, but we'll, I guess protocol is, but Kathy, it's all on you.
Aye.
Peggy.
Aye.
Steve.
Yes.
Jessica.
Yes.
Cameron.
Yes.
Bobby.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Jonathan's not here. Jim.
Yes.
And Chris.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you all. Let's see here. The next order of business is the approval of our minutes from our meeting from September 14th as Exhibit A in your packet that was mailed out. Again, I'll need a motion to approve.
So moved.
A motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, could I ask who gave the motion? I've looked around and I didn't see.
Bill gave the motion. I didn't see who gave the second.
Craig.
Okay. Craig. Thank you, Craig. That's why I didn't see you.
Okay, roll call. Chris?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes. Take a look at this picture from Morgan McDaniel out of Lyman.
Yes.
This is a picture. The woods, just a nice winter snowy vision. And this one of the Blue Ridge Mountains from Haymaker Town in Bogota. And Marie sent us that one. Just Jeff Hanna, which joins us now.
Yes.
Jeff, it is going to be a chilly night. However, one thing that we can think about, we enjoy warmer weather. There's a little warm-up on the way.
Thursday
is going to hit
yes.
60 or perhaps even above 60 degrees.
Yes.
Now this morning, a little bit of a winter wonderland out there. The Roger for you that winter officially starts 2 weeks from today on December the 21st. This evening, clouds are slowly but surely be on the decrease. We're blustery outside. If you're not blustery right now, rest assured.
Yep. Could I ask?
What's
I'm hearing some background noise here. Could I ask everybody to go on mute, please? There we go. Thank you. So, Jonathan, welcome. We're down on approving our minutes from our last meeting and doing a roll call vote. I'll pass it back to you, Kathy.
Aaron. Okay. Jonathan.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
And missed one. Peggy.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Huber, would you like to give the president's report?
Yes. First of all, I say welcome to everybody, but especially to our retirees who have joined us. And as you could probably tell by all the talk we were doing before the meeting started, it's just good to catch up and to see everybody. But I wanted to give a couple of quick updates. First of all, a wrap up of fall semester. This is our last week of classes. We concluded all of the on-campus performance-based labs before Thanksgiving, with the exception of one practical nursing lab. And we've had some challenges, of course, with clinical placements, with long-term care and rehab facilities. But we are finishing the semester, including exams, which will occur next week. All of that is occurring remotely. We will close for the holidays on December 23rd. I think we have managed very well. I know I have been extremely pleased with everyone's adherence to our guidelines. We have had, as of today, because the number changed Thursday, it changed Friday, and it changed again today, we have had 18 confirmed on-campus cases of COVID-19. Now, when I say on-campus, that means people, students or employees who have actually been on campus and reported a positive case. Of course, we've had others, other cases, but if they weren't on campus, we're not reporting it. Our IT staff, just as for your information, our IT staff developed a dashboard for our reporting, and it's posted on the college website under our coronavirus information and update page. We have a couple of point people for reporting our cases. These are reported, of course, to the VCCS and for advising employees and students. And that's Melissa Anderson is our point person for employees, and Deborah Kennedy, Dean of Student Services, is our point person for students. We additionally, as you might expect, especially in the last few weeks, have really experienced a lot of quarantine cases or quarantine requirements where people have been exposed or potentially exposed. Everything is not perfect by any means. We've had bumps in the road along the way. We address them, but I think we've all worked hard, and I think we've had a very positive semester in creating as positive, the positive learning experiences for our students and a very positive working environment for our employees, considering what we faced. Now that's fall semester. We flip ahead to spring semester, and we'll be following the same pattern. What the calendar committee recommended, which we are doing, is we are going to delay the start of spring semester classes until February 1. The first 2 weeks, like we did in fall semester, will be totally virtual. And then on February 15, we will start bringing some limited on-campus, hands-on, face-to-face labs. We've removed spring break. There will be no spring break. Once we start February 1, we're going to run straight through to the end of the semester. Graduation, of course, which is the highlight of our year, and we ask our college board to participate, is scheduled, notice I say scheduled, for May 15. And we'll need to make a decision probably by sometime early March. And like everything else, it changes from week to week and day to day. So we'll just have to see. At the same time, we will invite last year's graduates whenever we are able to have a ceremony. We will invite anyone who would have been in the mix to walk and had not been provided that opportunity. We're waiting to see what happens over the next few weeks and months. The next item, I just wanted to give you a very high level, and trust me, this is a high level overview of funding. We have been awarded a variety of what I call buckets from Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act funds. In other words, commonly known as CARES Act funds. Some of the funds have been awarded directly to the college by the U.S. Department of Education, and some have come through what I call a pass-through. The first there are two buckets under the Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds, which total about $1.7 million. Now, the first half, about $829,000, came as financial aid grants directly to students. And these funds were dispersed directly to students following the guidelines of Title IV, meaning financial aid eligibility. An independent student received $1,100. A dependent student, meaning still on their parents, received $800. These were awards that went and started in the spring directly to students. There was a small amount of grant funding through which for an application process that students could apply for some emergency grants. If they received either the $1,100 or the $800, they were not eligible to receive any additional funding. But these were some $500 grants. All of this funding was to address COVID-related financial impacts on students. And as of the end of October, the college has awarded about $793,000 from that bucket of funds. At the same time, there was a bucket of institutional aid funds, same amount, about $829,000. These funds have been used to cover the costs incurred from moving from face-to-face instruction to fully online instruction. Costs incurred, for example, with the closure of the and the loss of the Uptown Christiansburg mall site for purchasing PPE, personal protective equipment, cleaning, disinfecting, equipment purchases, the cost of the summer training, the professional development that we provided for faculty and moving to online learning, for providing the Wi-Fi for our parking lots. There was another smaller bucket, $82,000 approximately, under the same Higher Education Relief Act called Strengthening Institutions Programs. We've been able to apply that funding to cover a portion of the lost revenue that the college experienced from a tuition loss. Now, those were the funds that came directly to the college from Department of Ed. A few other of what, as I mentioned, passed through CARES Act dollars. These were awarded to another entity, for instance, awarded to the state from the federal government, awarded to the VCCS, and then they passed the funds to us to be awarded. One is a program called Reeducating Virginians, the REV funding, to assist underemployed and unemployed people because of the pandemic. And Peter Anderson's going to talk a little bit more about that program in a few minutes. So the amount there is still being determined depending upon how many people are eligible and accept that program. There was some funding, about $127,000, to pay one-time stipends to faculty and staff for partial compensation for teleworking expenses. Had a lot of people who've had to, for instance, increase their internet speeds, that type of thing. So it can partially compensate. And they will receive those funds with their one of the December checks, December payment. Full-time employees receive $550 each, part-time $397. And then there is what's called the CRF funds, coronavirus relief funds. And this is about $32,000, some additional institutional aid for the purchase of equipment, laptops, GoPro cameras, instructional materials. Now, as I mentioned, that's a very quick, a very high level overview. the point person who keeps all of this straight, and I have no idea how he does it, but it's John Van Hemert. And he has done a remarkable job just keeping up with all of these funds. And secondly, then with the reporting requirements for these funds. But I just kind of wanted you, because everybody reads about CARES Act funds, I wanted you to know how the college has used the funds that we have received. And that would conclude my report. And I'll be glad to answer any questions or respond in any way if anybody has anything. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. You know, one of our favorite things for you new board members, when we meet in December, it's generally a very nice event, spouses and our retirees. And we have a few of them here tonight. I've reached out through Kathy and asked a few of you to read some resolutions. First, we have who's not able to attend tonight would be Phyllis Anderson, and Bobby Porter is going to read her resolution.
Phyllis Anderson. Whereas Phyllis Anderson served New River Community College for nearly 43 years, starting on October 16, 1977, as clerk typist and retiring on July 1, 2020 as administrative and office specialist. And whereas she continued as a cashier fiscal assistant until 1997, then as a fiscal tech senior before becoming an administrative and office specialist in 2001. And whereas Phyllis was instrumental in the evolution of a number of internal systems, including the college's conversion to the PeopleSoft student information system in 2003, when she served on the transition team. And whereas she was known for her meticulous record keeping, attention to detail, and strong work ethic, often working beyond the typical workday to get the job done. And whereas she was always able to solve any problem in regard to student records, and whereas her deep knowledge base about college processes and procedures as they changed over the years made her a go-to person on whom others would always call for assistance or advice. And whereas she was always student-focused and particularly enjoyed working with nursing students, as her mother had been a nursing student at NRCC. And whereas she was an integral part of the team that worked diligently to prepare and execute NRCC's graduation ceremonies each year during her tenure in the admissions and records office. And whereas her commitment to the mission of the Comprehensive Community College contributed to the growth and success of New River Community College. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board of the New River Community College recognizes the many enduring contributions Phyllis Anderson has made to the college. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be incorporated into the
Bobby, I think you went on mute there right at the end.
Interesting. Gremlins in my, where do you need me to do it?
Be it further resolved.
Okay. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be incorporated into the official minutes of the board and that a copy be given to Mrs. Anderson. Witness our hands and seals this 7th day of December 2020, Patricia B. Huber, President, and Stephen E. Harvey, Chair.
Thank you, Bobby. Now, Fritz, you're keeping track of all these dates for us, right? So we can ask for the, all right. I didn't get to pull you aside at the beginning of the meeting to have you do that. All right, next we like to recognize Peggy Dunn. And interestingly, we're going to have Peggy DeWalt-Link read her resolution.
I think that was planned.
I think so.
Whereas Peggy Dunn served New River Community College for 34 years, starting in January 1986 as an adjunct faculty member and retiring on October 1, 2020 as academic counselor. And whereas she continued in part-time positions as director of the job readiness program in 2001, then as interim director of student activities in 2005, and as a career coach at Christiansburg High School in 2005, before joining NRCC full-time as career pathways coordinator in 2007 and academic counselor in 2008. And whereas during her history with NRCC, Peggy was involved in numerous programs and initiatives, including the Early Childhood Development Program, Single Parent Family Programming, and the Career Pathways Tech Prep and Perkins programs. And whereas she was selected as one of five inaugural high school career coaches when the Virginia Community College System launched the program, and she subsequently provided leadership for the program at NRCC. And whereas Peggy also served as the academic advising manager and most recently devoted her talents to the Student Resources Program, where perhaps her most lasting legacy will reside. It has been in this role where Peggy's heart and soul for supporting students has been most evident. And whereas she was NRCC students' best friend and fierce advocate, but didn't hesitate to show tough love when students needed extra guidance to stay on course. And whereas she was a trusted, fun-loving colleague and quick-witted friend who would always say yes to requests, no matter how many other things she was doing. And whereas her commitment to the mission of the Comprehensive Community College contributed to the growth and success of New River Community College. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of New River Community College recognizes the many enduring contributions Peggy Dunn has made to the college. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be incorporated into the official minutes of the board and that a copy be given to Mrs. Dunn. Witness our hands and seals the 7th day of December, 2020. Patricia B. Huber, President. Stephen E. Harvey, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you.
I lost you all. I have a gremlin too.
We heard you. You got it put all the way through. Thank you so much, Peggy.
You're welcome.
This is normally when we get to embarrass you and have you come up front and get a picture and hand you a little present from the foundation. So I heard a little birdie told me there's a little check in the mail coming your way from the foundation. Woo! So thank you. Angie Covey.
Thank you so much. My husband was hoping you were going to give me another job. I think he's tired of having me home after all these months. Thank you very much. I miss you guys. It's mean a lot to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy.
So next we have Carlotta Eaton and Jessica Littlejohn will read her resolution.
Hi, Carlotta. Nice to virtually meet you. After reading this, I wish I had had the opportunity to meet you in person. But that couldn't happen. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Whereas Carlotta Eaton served New River Community College for nearly 23 years, starting on August 16, 1997, as Associate Professor of Information Systems Technology and retiring on January 1, 2020. And whereas she continued as an assistant professor of information systems technology until 2001, then as an associate professor of information systems technology and becoming professor of information technology in 2004. And whereas during her tenure, Carlotta was a leader both at NRCC and in the Virginia Community College System in developing and updating information technology programs, always keeping instructional offerings on the cutting edge of technology, and whereas she was also instrumental in cooperative efforts with other institutions while playing an active role within the NRCC community, and whereas she was a dedicated teacher who required her students to work hard and master new skills, her ultimate goal was to make sure students were ready to succeed when they went to work. In her career as an educator, she prepared hundreds of students for a successful career in information technology. And whereas her commitment to the mission of the Comprehensive Community College contributed to the growth and success of New River Community College, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of New River Community College recognizes the many enduring contributions Carlotta Eaton has made to the college. Yet further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be incorporated into the official minutes of the board and that a copy will be given to Mrs. Eaton. Witness our hands and seals the 7th day of December 2020. Patricia B. Huber, President, and Stephen E. Harvey, Chair. Thank you, Carlotta.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. Really appreciate it.
Do you have a special guest there sitting next to you? Carlotta?
A lot of people there know him.
I thought I saw somebody sneak into the picture there. So congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Tony Nicola, and Bill Cunningham is going to read Tony's resolution. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Steve. Whereas Tony Nicola served New River Community College for more than 26 years, starting on December 1st of 1993 as building and grounds superintendent and retiring on April 1st of 2020 as director of facility services. And whereas he played a leadership role in major projects such as the opening of Edwards Hall in 1995 and development of the college's highly successful site in Christiansburg. And whereas, among other improvements, he oversaw creation of the beautiful entranceways to the New River Community College campus and the large stone sign that is visible along Route 100. And whereas Tony was continuously looking for ways to improve and further beautify campus grounds and facilities with results that often brought praise from visitors. And whereas his focus on preventative maintenance helped keep college facilities in tip-top condition. And whereas he served as a member of the New River Community College Beautification Committee, where he was a treasured member, but never allowed to select colors. And whereas he was always diligent in supporting activities and events ranging from graduation ceremonies to conferences and training activity. And whereas his commitment to the mission of the Comprehensive Community College contributed to the growth and success of New River Community College. There now for be it resolved that the Board of New River Community College recognizes the many enduring contributions Tony Nicolo has made to the college, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be incorporated into the official minutes of the board and that a copy be given to Mr. Nicolo. Witness our hands and seals the 7th day of December, 2020. Patricia B. Huber, President, Stephen E. Harvey, Chair. Congratulations.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks, Bill, for reading that.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate that. It's Angie's fault I couldn't pick colors, too.
Now, Tony, I heard a little story that I'm going to ask Mark to tell us about. Something about missing computers and a restroom. I'm not really sure. Maybe Mark could fill us in.
Oh, yeah. And
we're not talking about that.
Pat may remember this more vividly than I do. So, Pat, feel free to chime in. But some years ago, Tony had a lot of power. You know, when you control the facilities, you have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And you know, he shut a restroom down one time for quite a long time. And it was a women's restroom, and there weren't that many alternatives. So the women in that area had to go a long way to go to find another restroom. And eventually, when they we wanted to know what was taking so long to do the renovations in there. What they found out was he was storing computers in that restroom. There were no renovations. And once that was revealed, there was a lot of outrage that has continued to this day. Isn't that right, Pat? And that there were some efforts to put this in the resolution, but we thought we shouldn't document that for eternity. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff that Tony really got done around here.
But what I do have,
to and be I fair, to I was
what I tried to find, but and I do have this, Tony. I don't know if you remember, but one summer we had a little ice cream escapade around campus. Tony, he remembers now. We decided Fridays got pretty dull.
No pictures, please.
There weren't a lot of people on campus, so Tony dressed up as a clown and drove around in one of our little, what's now gators, with coolers on the back, distributing ice cream to anybody that was on campus. Ronnie, you got a lot to live up to.
I was forced to do both of those things, so I was innocent. So.
Well, thank you all very much. Tony. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Appreciate it.
So next we have
thank you very Glenda, much.
Next we have Glenda Solorano, and she was unable to attend, but we've got Jonathan Sweet is going to read her resolution for us.
Sorry she couldn't be with us. But we're going to read this into record and put it in our meeting minutes. Whereas Glenda Solorano served New River Community College for more than 38 years, starting on July 14th, 1981, as secretary senior and retiring on January 1st, 2020, as administrative and office specialist. And whereas she efficiently managed the daily operations of the NRCC Center for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing and Learning Achievement Program, and later the Center for Disability Services. And whereas, during her career, she managed the note-taking function and proctored test schedules for students who required these services. Located within the Advising Center, she was the first point of contact for students and visitors on campus, and particularly for those seeking to meet with an advisor. And whereas, Glenda served as the NRCC Virginia Placement Testing Administrator, organized Virginia Tech and Rapp University on-site admissions day, and served on various college committees. And whereas, she was known always to be dependable, professional, and willing and eager to take on new tasks. And whereas, she was an avid fan of the University of Virginia Cavaliers and of regional cultural events. And whereas, her commitment to the mission of the Comprehensive Community College contributed to the growth and success of New River Community College. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board of the New River Community College recognizes the many enduring contributions Glenda Solorano has made to the college, but be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be incorporated into the official minutes of the board and that a copy be given to Ms. Solorano. Witnesses are hand and seals the 7th day of December, 2020, Patricia B. Huber and Stephen E. Hardy.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, other board members. And most important, congratulations to all our retirees. It's quite an honor. And, you know, Fritz, I'm going to put you on the spot here and see how quick your math is this evening. So about how many years do we have here total?
More than a couple dozen.
That's quite an accomplishment. Board members, you all are welcome to sit through the business portion of the meeting, or you can knock off if you'd like. You're more than welcome to stay on and listen to the fun. So,
happy holidays to everybody. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Before we move on, could I just say a couple things?
Sure.
One to Peggy, congrats. As a board member, but as a colleague, you were terrific to work with.
Thank you.
And also, if those who may see Glenda, when I was at Tech, she was so efficient in every request that I had and always very, very kind to me. And people would say, well, why does not just Tech get a room for on-site admissions, but Bobby, why does the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences get their own room? I said, I don't know. I don't set it up, but that was all Glenda. So any of you pass that on. And then finally, to Phyllis, when I was reading it, after my many years in the community college system, I absolutely hated to leave it, except for one thing. I served on several state PeopleSoft committees, and I left in early 2004 from the VCCS, and that was the only thing I was clicking my heels about, that I didn't have to deal with that or continue training people. So pass on for anybody that went through that period, but congratulations to everyone. You're great people supporting a great cause.
Thank you. Be well.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll move on to next. We've got instruction student services report from Dr. Peter Abnerson.
Thank you, Steve. Well, on behalf of the faculty and staff and the two academic deans that are on here, Sarah and Debbie, this is what you see before you. Each board member has this in their packet. You got it weeks ago. It's a culmination of a lot of hard work, a lot of industrial education advisory committees. And this is one of the most important things we do at the college, set our curriculum for what we're going to do to serve our students and serve our community. So again, on behalf of the faculty and staff and all the great work, and I really commend the committee as we went through. We had really good discussion about it, about the various proposals. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Sharon from a recommendation from the committee.
Thank you, Peter. The curriculum committee met. We reviewed the 79 changes in 17 programs recommended by the faculty and advisors of New River Community College. We found that the majority of the changes the majority reflected changes by either the Virginia Community College System, higher education, which made it easier for students to transfer, or the employer needs in our localities, which made my heart very happy. Thank you to the faculty and the administrators and advisors. We recommend that all of these changes be accepted by this board this evening.
Thank you, Sharon. Kathy, we have, I'd like to call for a roll call vote, please.
Okay, Chris?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Sharon? Jonathan?
Yes.
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion is approved. Back to you, Peter Anderson.
Thank you, Steve. I'd also like to give a quick update about REV, or Reemploying Virginians, as Pat mentioned in her report. The governor granted $27 million to the Virginia Community College System to assist unemployed and underemployed Virginians to get retraining. And I'm going to use the term, it's really broad workforce training, but it's for our Associate of Applied Science programs, the certificates. Many of these are housed in business and technologies. We have some in arts and sciences as well, and then many workforce programs that we have. So those are the programs that and the students can receive this funding for. NRCC's portion is about $589,000, It provides funding for tuition and fees. It is first dollar funding, so it goes on the accounts of the student accounts first. A full-time student can get up to $3,000, and a part-time student can get up to $1,500. And again, the recipients must be unemployed or underemployed, and it has to be because of COVID-19. It can't be for any other reason. They had to have lost their job due to the pandemic or reduced employment from full-time to part-time because of the pandemic and are making less than $15 an hour. There is a self-certification process that the students, potential students that get the REV funds have to go through. And again, it is for credit and non-credit in very specific programs. It's not for every program here at New River. And that totals about to 75 programs. Many of these are smaller career study certificates that we have. The one hitch that we have is that this program was approved just a few weeks ago, and the funds must be credited to students' accounts by December the 14th. So this is a very, very narrow time frame where we have to work with the citizens and our students to get this money to them. And I'm happy to say, New River faculty and staff, mainly the staff, have really been working hard to identify current students who may be eligible. We have over 700. Dr. Deborah Kennedy, she ran some reports, crunched some numbers, and found exactly the number, along with Tim Jones and his help, crunched numbers and found out how many students we actually have. We sent targeted information to them. We sent information to the general student population. We've set up a web page for all the information. We've done press releases, local and state. And then we have a specific REV team that's responding and getting the word out to serve these applicants. So we're not only serving our current students, but getting the word out to our potential students as well. So that's in a nutshell, the REV funds and what we're doing with them. And I'll entertain any questions if anybody has any.
I have a quick question. Does a student have to have filled out the FAFSA to be eligible, or they just need to be a student?
Jessica, that is a great question. And I don't, Pat, you may be able to help me with this one. I can't remember whether they have to for the upcoming academic year or not, Jessica. I'm not positive whether they have to have had filled out the FAFSA or not. If any of the staff could help me that's on here, please chime in. I'm not sure. And I don't want to guess, Jessica, but if nobody knows, I will get back to you and let you know.
Yeah, it's not. I was just curious. I know that the initial CARES grants that went out, they were distributed by people who had filled out the FAFSA. So I didn't know if this was a program where any student was eligible or just those students. Just when you have an answer, that'd be great.
Yeah, I know it's not, and Dee Dee may be able to chime in here. I know they don't have to be financial aid students because it is first dollar funding. Dee Dee, do you know if they have to fill out their FAFSA or not?
No, they do not have to fill out. Oh, I think, yeah, good. I was making sure I was not muted. No, the FAFSA is not required for this funding. The students themselves self-certify that they meet one of the criteria, either they are unemployed or underemployed. And so, however, we are encouraging, if there's any new students or current students who are self-certifying, we are highly encouraging the FAFSA and offering to assist them, because that may very well result in additional funding. And I will just add one quick comment. You know, the eligibility criteria is pretty strict, so we have a lot of interest. Not as many students or individuals who are eligible, but one of the benefits has been that they've contacted us and now they know about the FAFSA if they didn't know about it prior, and may find that they're eligible for federal financial aid, that even if they're maybe not eligible for the REV funding.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you so much. Back to you, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Anderson. Next, we have our enrollment numbers from Dr. Fritz Streff. Fritz.
Hi, and I'm sorry I didn't have your numbers on the total years. I should have known that was coming after last year, but I forgot. The fall semester is just about over. It's not official yet, but barring stragglers, we're pretty much there. We were down 1.7% in total FTEs this year, this fall, and that was down about 4.6% in headcount. A big reason for that is we had an increase in dual enrollment in the fall. The FTE change, excluding the dual enrollment, this is kind of like people that paid, would be 9.28% with a headcount change, excluding dual enrollment, of 14.6%. Spring is a little bit of a different animal this year because we're starting so late. So we're a little behind in spring than we'd like to be, but I'm really hopeful that a large part of that is that people aren't feeling the anxiety to sign up right away. Over the last few years, we really have seen, and it never ceases to amaze me that it continues to increase, people registering later and later. And I don't know how they can do it any later than they do, but they seem to manage. Right now, we're down about 27.4% in FTEs and 35% in headcount for the spring. But I expect that to bounce back fairly robustly as we get closer to our mid-February startup on that. We are already open for summer enrollments, and I hesitated mentioning this, except why not? I got the numbers right. So we're down 7.4% in FTE for the summer and about 19% in in headcount for the summer. That's really only 145 students. So it's crazy early to be thinking or worrying about summer, but that's the way that played out. I hesitate. Oh, I wanted to compare us to the system on the fall in particular. Overall, we were down about 1.7%. The system was down 3.9% overall. So we're doing better than the system in the fall. Again, because of the calendar misfits in spring, I'm loath to mention it, but we're slightly behind the system, discounting dual enrollment, and there's a fairly healthy gap between us and the system as a whole for enrollment for the spring. But again, I think our calendar doesn't match the calendars that the rest of the system's using. So that's not a really big surprise to me. I got a bazillion other pieces of information here. If y'all have questions, I hope I've got a piece of paper that fits. Hearing none, I appreciate your time.
Yep. Any questions for Fritz? Doesn't look like it. All right, thank you, Fritz. Next, we have Mr. John Van Himmert on financing technology.
Before I get started, I want to be fair to Tony Niccolo, that it was me that told him to put those computers in the bathroom. And it was in the women's and the men's bathroom. But nobody cares about the men's bathroom.
It takes decades for John to admit something.
Yeah. Evidently. I appreciate that, John. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let me get to work. What we're looking at tonight is the name placards that we're going to put in each building. And since this was a modification to the building, we decided we should go through the Building and Sites Committee. The Building and Sites Committee met last Thursday on December the 3rd and discussed this and also had a vote. At this point, I'll turn it over to Peggy DeWald-Link and let her talk about it.
Well, the Beautification Committee also met and came up with a plexiglass holder that will have a picture and some biographical information placed at the main entrance of the buildings. where the buildings have a plaque for name, and at the classrooms where the classrooms have been named. So we voted that that was a wonderful idea by the beautification committee. And now we need to have a resolution, I believe, and have this approved by the board. So they're plexiglass holders with biographical information on those for whom the buildings are named and those for whom the classrooms are named. And that is my motion.
Thank you both for putting that together for us and the committee. So we have a motion on the floor, Kathy, and if we could go through roll call vote, please.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes.
Richard. Richard. Phil.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Phil.
Yes.
Peggy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Jessica. Cameron.
Yes.
Bobby.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Okay. Jonathan.
Yes.
And Jim.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all I have, unless you have questions for me.
Have any questions for John? Okay, well, thank you for putting that together for us tonight. Dr. Mark Rao with Workforce Development and External Relations.
Thank you, Steve.
Mark.
A couple of documents that we presented to the board earlier that need to call to your attention. Exhibit C is the Community College's mission statement. We've had a variation of this statement for years and years, and periodically we review it. At one point, I thought that we would be presenting it to the board for your approval at this meeting, but after I distributed it to faculty and staff, I got a number of very significant suggestions from faculty and staff members for updating and improving it, and I was really thrilled to see that. But what we'd want to do then is slow the process down and not just rubber stamp it. So what my intention is we will bring it back to the board at a future time after a committee has worked on it and gotten some more about some deeper and more significant development on this. And again, that's typical. It's kind of, just looking at it from a viewpoint of somebody in administration, it's nice to see such interest across the institution about something like this that people could just easily rubber stamp. So I was glad to see that. The second document does require board approval if you're ready for it tonight. That's our diversity and inclusion statement. This was developed more recently in the college's history, but still it's gotten a little old now, and it's time to update that too. And so we distributed that in the same way and had a number of suggestions that were minor in nature. And so we just were able to incorporate those into the existing statement. And I believe it's ready for the board's review and approval if you've had it to look at already, but if you have any other suggestions, and by the way, back on the mission statement, if you have any suggestions going forward, I've already gotten some, but feel free to make them. But what I'm asking now is if the board would approve the diversity and inclusion statement as it's now presented. It's in your packet, and Kathy could project it if necessary on the screens. And I might add to this that the VCCS has been giving increasing attention in this area, and they just have directed all the colleges to include questions in the hiring process that address diversity, inclusion, and equity. And we've already been working on that to a great extent, but it's just, you know, there's more attention on this than ever. And this is our effort to make sure this captures New River's approach to diversity and inclusion. So Steve, if someone would be willing to do that.
Thank you, Mark. Is there any, go ahead, Sharon.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I've read this. I know Mark's done a great job on this and the staff. So I'd like to make a motion that we accept the college's diversity and inclusion statement.
I'll second it.
Great. I have a motion and a second. Do I have any discussion? Kathy, could you call for a roll call vote, please?
I will. Chris?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Karen? Jonathan?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Next up, we have New River Education Foundation, Ms. Angie Covey. Angie? Okay,
thank you. I'm excited to share with this board, especially, two new scholarship endowments that we are in the process of receiving before the end of the year. And both of these folks are in the audience here tonight. And the first one that I want to mention is Bill Cunningham. He and his two brothers, Bruce and Clark, are going to be endowing a scholarship in their father's memory, C. Clark Cunningham. And I think we shared this with you at one of our board meetings that Mr. Cunningham, Bill's father, was a charter member of the New River Community College Board. I've heard the stories about that cold February day in 1969 when they had the shovels out here on the hill and they were breaking the ground for Godby Hall. So it's just quite an honor to us as a foundation in our college to have Clark Cunningham's name on a scholarship and then to have a board member, Bill Cunningham, along with his brothers, make that happen. So Bill, thank you so much. And we're very excited about that. And then the second one, Pat Huber. I had to ask her if she'd allow me to do this because she doesn't often allow us to share these types of things. But she and her husband, Pete, just endowed a scholarship in memory of Pete's father, who they lost in early spring due to COVID. And Pete's father is John H. Huber. So we'll have another scholarship, a Huber scholarship in memory of Mr. Huber, Pete's father. So Pat, thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me to share. And Bill, I had to twist his arm a little bit too to allow me to share this with the board. So we really appreciate you both and what you're doing to make our foundation stronger and serve more students. Every scholarship that we endow means another student is going to receive a scholarship every year. So thank you very, very much. And then the last thing that I'll mention, you've probably all received a letter from me by now. That's that annual campaign letter that we send out at the end of each year. So at the end of the year, as you're making your charitable contributions, I just ask if you would remember the Educational Foundation and all the great things that we do to help our students every year. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Angie. And thank you, Bill and Pat, for your scholarships. Great memories to pass forward. Mr. Wheeler?
Yes.
Floor is yours, sir.
Does anybody have any questions or concerns they'd like to bring up tonight?
Can I say something good? Not a question, not a concern, but some positives?
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks. Congratulations to New River Community College on their recent, I think it was a drive-through or drive-by FAFSA application submission. Was it drive-through or drive-by?
I would call it a drive-in.
I think it was a drive-in.
Drive-in.
But I thought that was so cool. Thanks for pivoting and being flexible and finding ways to serve students. So I love that idea. And then the second, in front of all of you, I wanted to thank Mark Rao. Mark has served on the Chamber's Board of Directors for 6 years now. He rolls off December 31st, but I did want to thank him for his service. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, Sharon.
Anyone else? Hearing none, Steve, I'd like to wish everybody a happy and safe Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sharon, for those words. At this point, I'd like to close our meeting out. Our next meeting will be March 1st, 2021. And we hope, doubtful, but we hope that we can all meet together at Godby Hall. But we will have a Zoom as necessary. So with that, I'd like to wish you all a happy holiday and safe travels. I hope we can all get together sometime soon. It's hard not to have these meetings and not be together, but I think we pulled off another good meeting. So thank you all for all your contributions tonight.
Steve, may I interrupt?
Absolutely.
Just one more thing. You know I've got to interrupt. I had a conversation with Santa today. Now, Kathy and I are pretty upset with Mr. Santa because he didn't deliver. But Santa was quick to point out to us that he would have had a delivery made today, except for two things. One, this little thing called a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And second, this thing called shared services. But Santa has been working on a little something for our board members. So thanks to pandemic and shared services, it may be January before you receive it. But please know how much we appreciate your service to New River Community College, but most importantly to our students and what you provide for our students. So we at New River say a very blessed holiday season for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Santa.
Mrs. Santa.
Right. Well, with that, everyone, we'll call the meeting adjourned. And thank you very much for coming out tonight. Appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas
to everybody.
Merry Christmas.